I've spoken about Ahavas Hashem before, but I think it's the topic which can be discussed multiple times. And since last time I spoke about it was a year ago, I think it's okay if we talk about it again, like once a year, whether you need it or not. What's interesting, or what's important, is that the Chafetz Chaim points out. Let's see, I'm trying to, so it's about page number 8 or so, that no, it's too far already, I think.
It's the bottom.
Yeah, before that. Before that.
Go back up. Where are you looking?
Okay, this page.
Thank you.
There. Bella. Okay. So the Chafetz Chaim points out that the Mor says a person who says Kriya Shema B'li Tefillin, made Eid HaShekher B'Atzma, a person who says Ukshartan, he doesn't put on Tefillin, that's Eid HaShekher. Because he says Ukshartan who ain't a kosher. And a moel is evil, he's planning to put on Tefillin later on. Kimashana Kershaw take it. So that's the halacha. And brought down halacha, the person should be wearing tefillin when he says Shema. So, in the same way, if you say the mitzvah about wearing tefillin, you don't put on tefillin. So you say the mitzvah Avos Hashem, you don't do Avos Hashem. So it's problematic. You have to fulfill the mitzvah Avos Hashem. Otherwise, you're being made a sheker ba'atzma. You're saying, I believe in Avos Hashem, it's a nice thing, but I don't do it, you know. I'll do it later on, I'll put on tefillin later on. But we say that's wrong. You shouldn't be wearing tefillin. You shouldn't be saying ukshartem and not wearing tefillin. So you shouldn't be saying you have to, not doing Avos Hashem. It's the same parallel thoughts. So, therefore.
I understand. So Avos Hashem is because you wear tefillin?
No. The Gemara says, but introduces the concept. The Gemara says that a person who would discuss wearing tefillin and not wear tefillin, that's ridiculous. So the same idea that a person who discusses wearing tefillin doesn't wear tefillin, the Gemara says it's ridiculous. A person who discusses Avos Hashem and doesn't do Avos Hashem is also ridiculous. It's the same ridiculous. That's the point that he's saying. It says you can't. He's drawing a parallel from the idea of the Gemara to the idea of Avos Hashem. The Gemara never discussed it in regards to Avos Hashem. He's just saying that's poshut. That with the same concept that the Gemara says you shouldn't talk about wearing tefillin and not wear tefillin. You shouldn't talk about Avos Hashem and not do Avos Hashem. So he says that that he explains how to do Avos Hashem, which I don't want to touch on that yet. And he says you find it difficult. Two more lines down. You find that focus of Avos Hashem based Kriya Shema, which is difficult to do. Okay, you're spending the whole day on Kapponim. You're pamachas for yom. The bishul shehi mitzvah tadira sheena tuya bezman ki yidua tia nigrash lo yiru lekaimus a Kapponim pamachas for yom. So the Sefer Chinuch points out that there are six mitzvahs which are constant mitzvahs. One of them is Avos Hashem. The mitzvah applies any time. There's no time application to a day or night, etc. So really, the person can be mekayem mitzvahs Avos Hashem the whole day. So because it has no designated time, what happens is you end up not doing it at all. So because it's constant, it should be worse. Lulav, it's once a day, so you remember the lulav, right? Right. So, but Avos Hashem, which is every single second, you end up never doing. That's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. So at least once a day, you should do it. But every year, at least by the Akar of Tefila, Kadam Shikanas Lechol Deisalecho, and Lachar, you can't go to eat before you do the mitzvah. But doing the Shar mitzvahs, I'm going to tell us all the Kamei Tefila and lulav that you can't eat before you do the mitzvah. So Avos Hashem is a chiyuv. So you can't eat before you do the mitzvah Avos Hashem. So the mitzvah we're talking about is, well, we're going for some different understandings of what Avos Hashem is. So part of it is it's just bringing out this point that Chafetz Chaim says it's a mitzvah tadira, like the Sefer Chinuch says. And besides being a mitzvah tadira, that it's also incumbent upon you. So it's nice, once in my lifetime I'll do Avos Hashem. That's not the point. The point is it should be something which I do doing regularly, not worth less than any other. Okay. So what is this mitzvah Avas Hashem? So let's try and touch on some of the different explanations of what the mitzvah Avas Hashem is. So let's start with the Chavis Levavis. The Chavis Levavis is, assuming I put my pages in order. So, 2, 3, 4, 5, page 6. So Chavis Levavis has a Shara Avas Hashem. He has a whole shahr, which the topic of the shahr is Avas Hashem, and that's the last shahr. Right? So the sefer is built in an order, and the apex of what you want to accomplish is you want to get to Avas Hashem. So that's the first thing that he says.
No, you're too far.
Yeah, pen.
Oh no, you're the single.
Side. Yeah, one. You're the single side.
No, it's the one page.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. So, Alecha Chilu Havin Ladaski Kol Chavis and Mutalas Alev. Everything which we Sefer Chavis Alevus. He's talking about Chavis Alev, not Chavis. So everything we're talking about in the whole Sefer. Kol Amidas Atovus, Kol Akrovus and Nefesh, Hamaskaras Leil B'Sefer. Everything which I mentioned before. Hein Malos Andregas Sharolim Behen El Inyan Hanala Zeh Shalom Iskavnim Levirus of Beshar. So everything is a Hakdomo. Everything is introduction to get us to this point. This is the last shahr. This is what it's all about. So the final goal is Avas Hashem. Furthermore, Shiloh Raka Chavis Amidus on his course b'sefer, and not just what I discussed the Chavis Alavavis, which I discussed in this sefer. El Shagam Kol Chavis and Mutelus Aladim. Period. The final madrig of everything you want to accomplish and all of your avoda is Avas Hashem. So this is the mountain that everything is climbing towards. So that's the first point that he says. Okay. Now. Let's skip that for now. It's page Reis Samaches. Okay. Allah Shaila Kesim Agim Lidei Avas Holakim Yisborach. So how do you get to Avas Hashem? He didn't understand the Chuba Bo. So I'm going to give the following answer. Mavakish. Okay, the Hagia Lidei Avas Hashem, Yochel Hasig Asa Rak Achereishu Makdim Lo Hakonas Rabbis. You need some preparation. Kesherhu Mashdim Hakonas Elu, and if you get all that in place, Tivolim Mehemo Avol Lekim Yisbarch. That will the result of that will be it will produce Avas Hashem. If you think you're going to get there without these vehicles, you're not going to get there. So what do you need to be marked? You need to have two focuses of yichud halev. Two ways that you're humbling yourself. Okay, so there's 8 things you're going to do. So what are they? So the two things of Yichud Alev that the focus is a singular focus are you have to have a Muna in Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. If a person doesn't have the Muna that the Baruch Hu, there's nothing else but Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're not going to get the Avas Hashem. Okay, now that's one singular focus of the person. The second singular focus is Shabakal Pula Shahu Isatia Libra Rak Kabana Yishida Achas. You should have one Kabana. Last is a Pula Rak Laman Yismo Yisbarak, Lava is a Rak Laman Kabana Yisbarak Bavad. Not to do it because you get any benefit, not to do it because you're afraid of any punishment, but do it because you want to do it in the honor of a Kadosh Baruch. Okay, so that's those two, the Yichud Alev that you need. So far, so good, right? Two ways you have to humble yourself. You have to be willing to humble yourself in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu and in front of those who are the ones that Bershom is the true servants of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Now, I realized that probably the next page was not copied, because I tried to do single page, and I guess this didn't copy. Okay. I will have to read it to you. Sheikh is one of the nevers saying, what are the two cheshbonners that you have to think about? Cheshbon nevers, oidus al-chobis al-mutolus al-lov, klapi al-akim, tumuris al-toyib, shoyis al-oytomid. You have to calculate how much you are responsible to give to Kadosh Baruch Hu, considering, in consideration of how much he's given you. Considering what we've got from Kadosh Baruch Hu, how much our responsibility is to give back to him. In the next page you don't have. Cheshbon nevers, oidus, and the Rosham does me a favor. I do a lot of favors. The Rosham doesn't publicize them. He could. The Gemara actually says that the Rosham, certain people, the Rosham Adafkim is Megal their Avonis because he's going to punish them. Since he's going to punish them, people will think that why is Gagani punished? He doesn't deserve it. The Rosham Adafkim is Megal their Avonis. Now, nobody wants their Avonis to become public. I do my Avonis, I want them to remain private. We're not holding the Madrega that we don't do Averis, and we're also not holding the Madrega that we don't mind that people know about Averis. Right? The Rosham is Moichel, the Rosham keeps it private, the Rosham. So, how much we have to give the. We owe Kodesh Baruch Hu for that. He has Rachmanis on our covet, and he's Moichelos. The Shteis Bonius are, he's Bonius is Ivri and Avi and Medivri Yakamanim Aleim HaShalom. Kedilas is Mehemus HaNisim and Yiflo HaShosu HaShem La B'Yisayin. Realize how much the Bereshim has done for us in the Chesedim, the Bereshim has done for Klai Yisrael in the past. He's Bonius B'Niv Royim, Kedil HaHavkin Mehemus Plola Yibar Yisbarach. Realize how much the Kodesh Baruch Hu has this wondrous world. Okay? If you get all that in place, you can have Avas Hashem. It's guaranteed. Right, now that sounds a pretty tall order because we don't have all those things in place. What the Chabad Chaim does do is he say that, you know, if you at least do the last two, you're going to touch into Avas Hashem. Now, obviously, the person has to have a Munah. The person doesn't have a Munah, so then, you know, what are we talking about? But a person has a Munah, so the person recognizes the ploim of the Bria. The Baruch has this wondrous world that he created, and how beautiful it is, and how. Right? So, this feeling of the Hatab of the Baruch has done to us to give us such a beautiful world, and the Nisim which he's done for us, so we have a feeling of a Karsa Toiv. So, a Karsa Toiv will be more than the feeling of Ahapa. That's what the Chabad Chaim says. So, if you want to be a candidate of Avas Hashem, the person should stop and think about how much the Baruch is mative to me individually and to Klai Yisrael. As together and as the world, the whole world, what the Russia was made to the world. We're not very good at that. We're not very good at thinking about that. He says if you can't get that all in during the saying during Kriya Shema, shuls aren't into this, giving you extra time to think during davening. Like that's not like part of davening.
It depends on what meeting you go to.
Right. I still repeat. Shuls aren't into giving you time to think during davening. Whatever minyan you go to, some give you more time. But a person reads a pasuk and he wants to think about it. You have no time to stop and think. You got to keep going because you got to keep up. Right? I want to think about the pasuk. I said a pasuk. I want to absorb it. Right? I said the pasuk of Abba's Hashem. I said, you know the Bresham, what? How do I love you? Why do I love you? What do I feel about my life? I want to think about it. Hashem lekecha mehemes. You know, I'm busy. You know, I was once in a shul. I was like, this. I think was my world record, at least, you know, personal world record. I was in a shul. Baruch Atah Hashem lekecha mehemes. No, that's where I was holding somewhere in the middle of the first bracha. Somewhere about zocher chasdei avos. All of a sudden, Chazar Sajat starts. It was Shabbos Musaf, so it wasn't like, you know, regular shacharis, but I was holding about halfway through the first paragraph, and they said, Chazar Sashat. Like, so how are you supposed to have time to be Ms. Burnin if that's what's happening? So I don't know.
You can't hold up dominion.
I'm not asking to hold up dominion. I'm asking that dominion should hold itself up. Tefillah is not reading words. Tefillah is about a Shabbat. Tefillah is about service. It's a vodesh belay. You have to have heart in it. So part of heart is to think. It's to feel. To emote. Right? The person says, Pesach Yishudecha, and he feels safety, he feels security. The Russian was taking care of me. He says, Marabu Masach Hashem, and he just feels wondrous that the world's a beautiful world. He feels that Avinu Avarachim on that Avra Avtonu, he feels this feeling of outpouring of love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, you want to feel those things. You want to have time to feel them. But since those are emotions and people don't necessarily emote so easily, we end up tend to sort of missing those things. Okay. So there's a mitzvah Avas Hashem, and it's a very important mitzvah. It's the goal of all of our Avodah, according to Chavos Avos. Chavos Avos is a very important sefer. Chavos Avos is written before Rashi. It's from the time before Rashi. It's the first Musar sefer that we have. He writes, it says every single sefer which has been written until now is all about Chavos Avorim. It's all about the things you do with your body. There's no sefer written about the Chavos Avos, about the responsibilities of the thoughts and the feelings and emotions. So there's no sefer been written about it. He's going to write a sefer about it. It's one of, if you think about it, he was the same time as the Rif. So you're talking about, there probably was, he's writing Svarim, all the Svarim which are written. I mean, the Gemara touches on everything. So he's talking about post-Gemara. I mean, how many Svarim are written post-Gemara already? Like, there were 20 Svarim, but because of Abbas is, in many ways, is the foundation of all of our writers of Musar. The Chassam Sofer used to learn Chassam Abbas every single day before Gemara Shir. He used to learn a page on Chassam Abbas. You know, because you have to learn Chassam Abbas. And he's saying that this is the goal of all of our writers, is to come to Abbas Hashem. Okay, so what is this Abbas? Let's go back to page one. Okay, I'm going to start with the piece of Mitzvah Gimel. We have a mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a quote from the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam. So the first mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam, mitzvah say, is that the Rosh Hashanah exists. The second mitzvah is Yichud Hashem, and the third mitzvah is Avas Hashem. So what is the mitzvah of Avas Hashem? This is the quote of the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs. Shinis Boinim and Naskal Mitzvah Yisov Ashinasi Geyu. We should contemplate and understand the Rosh Hashanah's commandments and his deeds until we understand him. We reach some level of connection to him. And we find pleasure in this feeling of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some way connecting, a tremendous amount of pleasure. And that's the Abba which we're mechayev to do. So the point that he's pointing out is that if we don't feel an emotion with it, of that this is something that it's desirable to us and it's pleasurable to us, we're not really feeling Abba. Abba is something which we feel it's something which it makes us happy. It makes us, when we have love to something, because it's something which gives us pleasure, something which is desirable to us. So you need to get the madrega of this feeling of Ava to Kodesh Baruch Hu, which means that it should have tremendous pleasure in that. Now, the Ram over here talks about it in the focus in the context of the mitzvahs, the Bershom's mitzvahs and his actions. So take a look over here in the next page. So this is a quote from the Rambam in not in Sefer Mitzvahs, but in the Rambam in the Yad HaChazakah, the Mishnah Torah. Kel nichbad v'nor is a mitzvah la'avo liyira oisai. There's a mitzvah to love him and to fear him. Shemar v'hafta es Hashem l'kecha, es Hashem l'kecha tira. V'heichi aderech la'avo so liyira oisai. How do you get to avos and yiras Hashem? B'shosh yisbenu adu b'maisa b'bruya v'nifloyim agdolim. So you contemplate the Bereshim's tremendous deeds that he did in this world. And he sees in the world a tremendous wisdom which has no limits. See, it's a tremendous desire to connect and understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I have this thirst for Kodesh Baruch Hu. When he thinks about these things at the same time, he jumps back, and he's scared. But Yudea, he realizes Shu Yudea, Shu Beria Ktana, Shvelav Afela. He's this lowly, dark creation Remedes Bedas Kalo, standing with such limited understanding, Mu'uta, Lifnei Tamim Deyas, in front of the one who's perfect in his understanding. K'mashamar David, Kera Shemecha, Maisei Etzbesecha, Mo'enesh Kisis Kerenu. So the same thought processes which brings the Ava brings the Yira. And it's a cycle. That a person is Mizpainan and he realizes the beauty the Brashim has created, how loving Kadosh Baruch Hu is, and he feels a feeling of Ava, and he realizes how little he is compared to that and how distant he is from that, and he feels a feeling of Yira. So both of those things are so the Rambam says that the focus is being Mizpainan in the Bria. The Rambam Sefer Mitzvah says that the focus is to be Mizpainan in the Mitzvah Hashem. So which one is it? So we get to use always the over from Ramalta Pogromansky. By now, you should have heard of Ramalta Pogromansky from me already. Ramalta Pogromansky was, any good tells, I spoke about him already before. I see David is smiling. Right? So Ramalta Pogromansky was a fascinating person. He was a Baal Tshuva in Europe. His father was Nifter, and he was very young. The man was brilliant off the charts. Gifted told us that in the history of Tel Zeshiva and all of the people who went to the Zeshiva Tel Zeshiva, only two people got the title of Ilui, of, you know, genius. One of them was Ramalta Pogromansky. So his father was Nifter young. He took over his father's business at the age of 10 or 11. He was running his father's factory. He was like running his whole father's business. He was, you know, supporting his family. He was a major businessman at 11 years old. He was like, you know, Rabbi Lapian came to the city and gave a drasha and copped this young man and sent him away to Tel Zeshiva to learn. He was there for a few months. He went back to his business, and Rebellion came to visit Tel Zeshiva and realized that he was gone. He went back to the city specifically to get him, brought him back to the yeshiva. He came to the yeshiva. They set him in the bottom shir. Within 2 years, he was in the top shir. The top shir was, there were four levels of shirman in the yeshiva, and there was something called shir hay. Shir hay was by invitation only. He was in shir hay. Shir hay, if you want to mostly go to shir hay, well, shir hay was a pilpul shir that the yeshiva used to say Thursday nights or Friday mornings from 12 midnight till 7 a.m. It was a 7 hour straight shir. No, but cheshbon. A 7 hour cheshbon. And he was in the shir after 2 years. So that was Ramalta Pogromansky. His avodah was tremendous. He was in the Kovlin ghetto. So Reb Aaron has his stories because Reb Aaron's father was with Ramalta Pogromansky in the Kovlin ghetto. He was Mishal Mishim. And like he was makbid on the, he didn't eat treif. He was makbid on every single halacha. He used to say that, you know, he doesn't see Germans, he sees Pesukim of Tanakh. Like he saw this in the prism of Tanakh. After the war, he ended up in Paris after the war, and he started a yeshiva, and Rabbi Kreiser's father was one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva. So Rabbi Kreiser has his stories from Ramalta Pogromansky. So all of the three of us have our Ramalta Pogromansky stories. Rishi was very close, Gift was very close with him. He says that he used to come visit, after a few years he moved back to Kovno. So he used to come back to visit Tells. He would walk in Mace Medrash. He would totally disrupt the Seder because everybody would run to listen to him and talk, you know, brilliant. So the Rishi was asking him not to come in the Seder. He shouldn't stare, like, you know, Tells, you know, middle of Seder, you know, he shouldn't stare the Seder. Rabbi Kreiser has a mice, said over a mice with him that once Ramalta was sitting with a Chevra of Bochum, they were talking about Mesiris Nefesh and, you know, different things. So the law is a person, the Chazal say that if a person's wearing Klayim to Raisa, he realizes that he's Mechiv to remove that garment in the middle of the street, whether he'll be left unclothed, but that's the law. So one of the Bachram said to Ramotel, the conversation in Yiddish, obviously, says Ramotel, so you're standing on top of the Eiffel Tower, and all of Paris can see you. And you realize that you have climb in your pants. What are you going to do? So Ramalta thinks, and he says, I'm going to drop my pants. So the one of the barkers screamed at him. He says, Ramalta, all of Paris is going to see you. The ganz Paris, Zetaich. What are you going to do? So he stops, he thinks, I'm going to drop my pants. Like, that's it. You know, the Torah is real. So So, okay, that's halacha. That's halacha. You know, that's it. End the conversation. So Ramatul said a mashal. He said over to the Meshiva, said over from that was to understand these two Rambams. So he says there was once was a person. They took him to the Louvre, and they show him this gorgeous Rembrandt, and he says, you know, it looks like yogurt to me, you know. Cultured, it looks like Zoyer Milch was like a Leban, you know. So they take him to another painting, and he says, Zoyer Milch, you know, same thing, it looks like Zoyer Milch, it looks like, you know, Leban, you know, to me. Blobs of Leban. Like a third time, a fourth time, finally he says, you know, this is, somebody says, give me your glasses for a second. So they gave him his glasses. On his glasses, there was a blob of Zoyer Milch. Everything looked like Zoyer Milch. You know. So what do you want? He says they cleaned up the glasses, and he looked. And he says, "Oh, gorgeous painting." Right? So he says, "We're best. We look at the bria. We look at the bria, and we should hear the bria screams of Kadosh Baruch. The bria screams chokhmah. The bria screams beauty. The bria screaming at us, Amun and Kadosh Baruch. It's screaming at us the tremendous wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way the world functions and the beauty of it, and it's like it's a tremendous. We don't see it because our glasses are dirty." It says when you learn the Torah, you clean your glasses, and when you clean your glasses, you see the world the way you're supposed to see it. So Mela, the two Rambams are two sides of the same coin. You can look at the Bria, you're going to have Avos Hashem. But you can't look at the Bria and Avos Hashem because you don't see the Bria. You see Zohar Melech. So, is better than the mitzvahs, it's better than in the Torah. And it gives you a clarity of how to see the Bria. Okay, now, that's Ramotel's, that was Ramotel's mashal to be Masber, the two Rambams. I think it's a gorgeous mashal. But let's explain it a little bit. I think that, you know, we have a difficulty. You know, we read the Rambam, simply read the Rambam, and we say, well, okay, according to this, if I learn Gemara every night, you know, so I'm now I'm going to see the Bria right. You know, some or other, it doesn't seem to work. It just doesn't seem to work. And also, like, the Rambam seems to say that when a person learns, he gets a tremendous pleasure in his learning. Now, like, a lot of people learn don't get a tremendous pleasure in their learning. Or even if they do, I once pointed this, we maybe spoke about this once, I don't remember, I think we did. The Nevi'im Chaim writes in Shar Dalet that the mitzvah of, there's a concept of learning Torah Lishma. So it's based on the Gemara in the Dorm. The Gemara says, "Say the Rambam L'Shem Po Olam, the Rebbe Ham Lishmon." So the Say the Rambam L'Shem Po Olam, you should do with the mitzvahs, the Shem Shemayim, the Shem Po Olam, in the name, you know, the Shem, the one who created them. And you should learn Torah, the Rebbe Ham Lishmon. So the Rosh says, I mean, if it means the Shem, learn the Shem Shemayim, that's already that's the Say the Rambam L'Shem Po Olam. Well, do mitzvahs the Shem Shemayim. So what does it mean? It means the Shem Torah. You should learn Torah, the Shema Torah. Right? Good. So the Meshach Chaim says that you see that the concept of Lishmo by Torah is not Lishmo of, you know, Hini Mucha Mazum and the Kaim Mitzvah say Shel Liman O Torah. That's the other din. This is a special, I want to have the Torah. Why am I learning Torah? Because I want to have the Torah. That's why. Right? So that's been misunderstood. My mathematician, my Hungarian mathematician, Erdős?
Erdős.
Erdős. Okay, thank you. All right. Ever hear of him? No.
Paul Erdős.
He was a Jew. He wasn't really, wasn't Sherman Torah Mitzvahs. This man loved mathematics. He loved mathematics. He didn't have his own bank. He had a bank account, but he didn't deal with it. He had somebody else to take care of his bank because I don't always time thinking about my money. I can think about mathematics. He didn't get married because that would stare his thinking about mathematics. Right? He didn't know how to cook because, like, I can think about mathematics. Why should I think about, you know, scrambling eggs? Right? He was ba'avas mathematics tishka tomi. He was ligging in mathematics. He would sit there and contemplate mathematics. The council happened, like, you know. So there was once an article about him in Scientific American, so my share ripped it out. you know, wrote on top of it, he says, right idea, wrong train.
I remember this.
Right, I told you this, right?
Yeah,
right. And he sent it to me. Right? The guy got it. So, and then there's some people that they love mathematics. There's some people that love chess. You know, chess is fascinating. Just, you know, you can sit there and contemplate chess and spend the whole day, like, you know, thinking about different boards, you know. I had people love wisdom. I told you about my Goyish friend who's still in Carlo.
Coming out.
Goyish friend still in Carlo.
Yeah. I'm a Belgian, right? You know that, right? So I had this very close friend. The guy was like very, very smart. We were friends back, way back in my youth. I give you a idea of like his intelligence. Like, so we used to play chess together. He used to always beat me. That's okay. Then he said, "Let's play mental chess." You know, like, you know, just like, you know, no board.
Oh,
just
so
like,
I see that. Oh.
Okay. Said, so, okay, then let's play lightning mental chess. You need 3 seconds to make your move. I said, I need to picture the board first, like, you know, before I can make a move, you know. Well, we played lightning chess on the board, and we can do mental chess, so let's do lightning mental chess. Okay, so fine. So I went off to yeshiva, and I became Frum, etc., you know, and he, I haven't kept up with him, I haven't spoken to him in years, but, like, last I heard from him, he's still in college. Like, because he doesn't want to work, he just wants to get cochlo. So last I heard from him, like, you know, he got this degree, and then he went back for this degree, and then he went for this degree, and then he went for this degree, you know, like, he's still in Kabul, you know, he's still sitting and learning, you know, right?
Cool.
You know, I mean, now, Ophanem is, it's not so funny, but it's funny, but not so funny. Last time I met him, he told me, he's in Oxford now. He's studying Medrash in the original, because he got a Lubavitch guy to teach him how to read Hebrew. That's a good
reason.
Lubavitch. Yeah, Lubavitch got to teach him how to read Hebrew, and he's studying Medrash in the original. That's what he's doing lately. That was his last thing he was doing, you know. Okay. So my mother used to complain about me, like, get a job ready. Like, I was in Carlo for 14 years. You know, she says, "Ma, Bruce is still also in college. Like, you know, what do you want from me?" You know, like, you know, she didn't like that answer. She says, "So when I got a job, I said, Ma, I got a job. Bruce is still in college." You know.
Did he marry?
What?
Did he marry?
I haven't been in touch with him since I moved here. I haven't been in touch with him for about 20 years. He wasn't married yet.
No time.
So, like, he loved wisdom. Is that L'shem Torah? Does it mean L'shem Torah? That's not what it means. We can't. The Baruch Hashem created the world. The Baruch Hashem is infinite. The Baruch Hashem is beyond the human. We have no way to touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We have no way to touch him. He's beyond. We can't physically touch him. I mean, the reality is, Rabbi Kaplan writes in one place, he says, the reason why you can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not because he's not visible, is because he's everywhere, and you only see things because there's a contrast. It's a fascinating thought.
It is. That's interesting.
Right? Think about that one. Okay.
That's interesting.
But for us, he's not visible. So, what does it mean we're going to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're going to have Avah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What do the words mean? Right. So the Baruch Hu created a vehicle for us to have a level of awareness to him. It means the Baruch Hu created ways to know him. He made himself visible to us, not in a physical sense, but in a conceptual sense. The Baruch Hu was Megala his Rotzer. He wants certain things to happen. That's our window into what we know about him. That's all we know about. That's all we know about him, is what he wants us to know. So what was he Megala to us? He was Megala to us his Rotzer through the Torah. He's megalos us his rotzen through the bria, through history, through the physical world. He made himself known to us. The only thing we can do is we want to say we're going to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by coming to understand him a little bit. When you understand something, you connect to it. The word for Heber is the word das. When I understand you, I connect to you. Which is why the philosophers always said that Ava, by definition, has to be between two things which have something in common. Because the idea of Ava is always going to be that we're connecting in some way, we understand each other. That's when you connect, that's when you really love. You can't love something which is totally foreign to you, which is, I mean, you see it played out, that, you know, all of this idea in the society, something that you don't know anything about, you hate, or you at least don't love. Once you start understanding them, where they're coming from, you start connecting. The Rosh made us the way we love is by connecting to something. Ava is an extension of ourselves. It's when we connect to something outside of ourselves, that's the meaning of Ava. That's what Das is. Is the physical mindset between a man and a woman. It's because it's not the physical mindset which is the point. The point is the understanding which comes with it, which is expressed in the physical mindset as well. So the only way we can love a Kadosh Baruch Hu is when we feel connected, which means we start understanding him a little bit. So the Bereshit, we can't understand a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't understand the finite mind understand the infinite. That's ridiculous. The words don't make any sense. The Baal HaTanya says an interesting lashon. He says the Chazal say that no machshava is toughest in a Kadosh. No thought process can connect, can be tough as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Hebrew word or Aramaic word. Tfisa is to take hold of something. So he says, a beautiful line. He says the same way a hand can't grasp a thought, because a thought is a different dimension than a hand. Our minds can't grasp a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same distance from a hand to a thought. Our thought process to a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the same distance, or at least there's no way we can grasp a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we can grasp, as much as he wants us to know about him, he's made himself available to understand, as it were, at least in the context of the world that we live in. So that's what I want to know. That's a Shema Torah. It's not, listen, Rashi, I couldn't care less whether I understand you or not. But it's a mitzvah to learn. L'shem Shemaim, I'm going to learn, you know. That's not the Shema for a Torah. I want to know the Torah because I need to know. The mashal I gave you the mashal of the chassan and the kala with the letter, right. Remind you of the mashal, right? So imagine in the good old days before there was phones, right? People got engaged and the chassan writes his kala letter, right? That's the only interface she has with her chassan, because she can't see him. He's miles and miles away. Her interface with him is through the letter. So she gets the letter. She reads the letter once. She reads it twice. Yeah. She reads it multiple times. She just enjoys reading the letter, because that's her interface with her. That's how she's going to connect to him. That's her connection. So she enjoys reading the letter because that's the connection. And imagine she doesn't understand something in the letter. Okay, no, I don't understand. Geht weiter, as they say, you know. Yeah, well, that's so important. It's not so important. It's a letter from my husband. I need to know what he said. I need to know. I can't go weiter. I can't ignore this. This is real. This is. It's not a game. This is my letter, my chassid. I need to know what he said. So I read it again. I think of a context. I maybe ask somebody else. I write it for explanation. I need to know what it says. That's what it means. The Shema Torah. It's not. I enjoy the intellectual pursuit. The Kabbalah says, listen. I really could. It's so fascinating to try to figure out. Let's do a riddle and figure out what he meant. I mean this. I enjoy the riddle. That's mathematics. That's Paul Erdős. I enjoy the game of the figuring out, the challenge. I like Sudokus. I like them. I like doing the extreme ones. Because they're challenging. You get to figure out. Different things. I also used to play chess.
Lightning mental chess.
I never did lightning mental chess. I refused to do that one. Lightning chess, mental chess, not lightning mental chess. That I didn't do. Rama says when that's how you learn Torah, when you get it, there's this tremendous tainug. I connected with my chassid. I got what I sat there and I worked and I figured out what my chassid said, and that the effort I put in itself enhances the connection. I feel so good. I feel more connected to him. I understand part of his being was expressed to me through that point, and I get it, and I feel a chibur between my neshamas. That's Ava. When you get that, and you start seeing the world at the Rosh Hashanah Megala, what the whole world is about through the Torah. That's what the whole Torah is what the Rosh Hashanah wants the world to do. Then I look at the Bria and say, "Wow, look what the Bria is doing. This is gorgeous Bria. Look the Chachma the Rosh Hashanah has there, and and I start seeing purpose and function, and I start seeing Chachma." Because chokhmah without purpose and function is not chokhmah. It's such a chokhmah that everything fits together. Why? For no purpose. Right? We're making this gorgeously intelligent useless toy. Really? No, it's gorgeously intelligent and it's purposeful. So that's the chokhmah you see in the Briyas. The point the Rambam is saying is because we understand that mitzvos and pulos are him. That's all. The point the Rambam is saying is that the human being has no ability to connect the Kadosh Baruch Hu in any other way other than this. That's the Avos Hashem the Rambam is talking about. Okay. That's one little piece. Let's go right over here. So much to talk about over here. Okay. I want to touch on the Chol Levav Kol V'Chol Nafshach a little bit. So take a look at your page in the test. So the Ibn Ezra says, "V'Chol Levav Kol Nafshach Leivu Adas V'Kina the Ruach Maskelis Ki Hi Amarkavah Rishana and Nafshach Hu Ruach Shabaguf V'Hi Amisave." Okay, so we have. Lev is used in the Lashon Torah, Chacham Lev, etc. It's wisdom, it's understanding. Nefesh is desire. So with all of my wisdom and with all of my desire, I am loving and Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's okay. Fine. So love him every way that you can. So I wouldn't included in that is that there's nothing more valuable to me than my love. So a husband says, "I love you so much, I buy you anything. You know, maybe we don't have the money for it. Okay, we don't have the money for it. But if I would, I'd buy you anything." Right, that's true. I said, "I love you a lot, but you know, listen, lady, nothing more than $50." Right, obviously there's something challenging over there in that offer, and not because we can't afford it, you know, because you know there's more important things right now. You know, I want to buy you a present, but you know, we don't have food for the kids. You know, I understand that's one thing. You know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, listen, you know, everything has limits. You know, let's get it straight. You know, you're worth $50 every 2 weeks. You know, okay, right. Shane Roy Lachas Alpizer a moment eats la mitzvah. If the mitzvah is the way that we connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, what do you mean you don't want to spend money on a mitzvah? Shefil la motza lula ve'esregela b'dami yikarim lo yachas la mamano el yishichachenu. For example, you know, lula ve'esregela, apparently with the rest of the once upon a time was expensive because it was very difficult to get. You know, depending where you lived, the estrog didn't grow there. You know, you imagine in Vilna, getting an estrog was quite a challenge. You know, they had a ship it from, you know, whatever. Most of the Lada's women didn't make it there, you know, still kosher by the time they got to Vilna, you know. Benachai didn't live in Vilna, same, all right, we're getting a lulav, you know. It costs a lot of money, okay, but so what? The Morris says, Renil bought one El of Zeus, so we have a Masur, but we spend a lot of money on lulav and Esther, right? Now, you remember the math. Masayim Zeus is what one person needs to live on for 1 year. Food, clothing, and shelter. That's basic needs. So this is five times that. So this is 5 years' salary worth of one individual. That's what he spent on a little bit of Esther. Okay. Now, Chazal say hiter mitzvah. Shlish mitzvah. You want to do hiter mitzvah. I have to tell you, I had this argosha with hiter mitzvah. Hiter mitzvah is such a beautiful thing. I was once in Chicago for a. I had been in the hospital. You know, so the doctor felt I needed to have a little bit of a break afterwards. I was bucker still, and couldn't go home because the home wasn't very conducive for it wasn't kosher there, etc. Whatever. So staying in yeshiva and not being in Beis Medrash was not gonna work. I mean, that you feel like you're less happy. I'm there in yeshiva and I'm going to Beis Medrash and hanging out in the dorm the whole time. You know, so I went to Chicago for 2 weeks, stay in somebody's had an apartment, and I went to Beis Shemesh when I wanted to, and I did some touring, etc. So in Chicago, there's a place called Spurtus College of Judaica, or something like that. So they have a museum. The first two floors of the college is a museum. So I went to see the museum, and they have these gorgeous different heder mitzvah things. You know, this ancient Esri case, you know, different things, and see what the beauty that people put into them. And I had such a hargosha of how much Klal Yisrael loves mitzvahs, that they're willing to put all of this effort, in, you know, intricate and gorgeous different things. So you go to the Israel Museum and in Yerushalayim, you get the same type of thing. You know, that Hiddur Mitzvah expresses that. Okay. Let's just touch on a few more things about B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nafshecha, because it's getting late. So the Rambam and the Parsha, hence the Mikros Gedolos, right? You have to something from the Rambam, if you're at Mikros Gedolos. It's always towards the back. Like the fourth last page. So he points out that Chazal, Darshan Mamar, is the opposite of the Ibn Ezra. Then he quotes Ibn Ezra. Cholavavcha, Adasa Medrash, Alev, Hanisra Khan, Hua Karecha Misava. That it's, Lev is referring to Taiva. Tavas Liba in the Sataloi. It's referring to the part of the person which stays living forever. Okay. Then Rabbi Avram Omar, that's the Ibn Ezra, Kinafshecha Mehemisav, Emchol Avavcha Hu Adas. Now, Devorah, Karav, Pirish, B'chol Avavecha, Mamashom, Hidur, Mela, Alavavecha, which is the next pasuk, which over there clearly is referring to, it's talking about understanding. Hatam, B'chol Madecha, Klamer, Ma'oid, Ma'oid. The Hatam, now in the Rishon, the word Hatam doesn't mean the reason, it means, and the understanding of it means the way to understand what the point is, the message is, Rav, Rav, Ahoy, love him so much. Vedasar Basen was referring to Bechama Mindcha. It's referring to your money. Fine. So, see, he brings that Chazal have this Taicha Bechol Avavcha, Bechol Nafshecha, different than the way the Ibn Ezra understands it. Fine. Go back a page. This is, you know, I'm into the Chayotim, you know that by now, maybe. Hopefully, I can make you people into Chayotim also. Like you said, you know, way back when. What does b'chol avavcha mean? Ratzel Omer. So Chazal darshan mishnei yitzarecha with both of your yetzers. Ratzel Omer. What does it mean? You love Hashem with both of your yetzers? Because yiskabra love a yetzer hara. The fact is a seila aveira. The yetzer hara is tempting you with an aveira. Oz mechuyev yiskabra love avur avas Hashem. You need to arouse Avas Hashem in your heart and overpower the Yetzer Hara. And you therefore you will win. How can I go against the Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu when I love a Kadosh Baruch Hu? I should rebel against him. So that's the Shnei Yitzrech according to the Chayotim. Rebel Meir Zitzel, I didn't put it in the packet. Rebel Meir Zitzel says Shnei Yitzrech, a totally different shot. This is the theme which he talks about a lot. He says over from his father, the regressive Leib, that a human being can have multiple emotions at the same time. A Malach can't. Malach, whatever he is, he is. Whatever his shlichus is, that's his being. That's why he says, my name is whatever I'm doing right now, that's my name. That's what the Malach means, a shlich. That's what I am. Whereas a human being can have multiple emotions at the same time. And the Gemara says that I mentioned to you that the Gemara says that Turnus Rubus of Russia sent his wife to seduce Rabbi Kiva. She comes into Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva was rock, sacha, kabocha. He spat, he laughed, and he cried. So they asked him what that's about. He's spat because, you know, this supposed beauty comes from a tipas rucha. It comes from this. So it's mias. Sochak, he laughed because he saw in Rucha Kedesh that eventually she's going to become a giyaris and he's going to marry her. Ubachat, he cried about this beauty which is going to end up lying in the dirt. So you're rock because it's mias to you, and you're crying because it's beautiful. Is it beautiful? It's not mias. Mias is not beautiful. Human beings can have multiple emotions at the same time. That's his mouth with lights. Why Kleiser was able to say the shir by the yam. You have to picture this thought process. The Baruch Hashem says to the Malachim, you can't say shira because Ma'aseh Yad Tam V'Yam. The Mishima are drowning, and you're going to say shira. Kaisel says shira. So Rizkers say the Teretz is because they're Nes, the Nes is made for them, they have a chiyuv to give praise to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rebbe Meir said, human being can have multiple emotions. Kaisel had shira to Kodesh Baruch Hu and felt bad for the Mishima drowning. Malach can't do that. If he's singing shira, there's nothing else. So Rebbe Meir is picturing the Kleisel sitting by Yamsuf saying shir to Kodesh Baruch Hu and feeling bad for the dream that they drowned. The picture of Rebbe Meir's thought process of how he saw the world. That's how he pictured Kleisel doing that. Right? Most of us will not picture Kleisel doing that. They would say, yay! They weren't saying yay. They were saying, oh, Nebuch. And Baruch Hashem. At the same time. So Rebbe Meir says, B'chol Avovcho is that fact that Avraham Avinu goes to the Keter. Chazal said Avraham Avinu went to the Keter, but Sirus Nefesh Gemur etc. And he was crying while he was preparing Yitzchak for the. He's losing his son. I mean, he's so happy. I mean, I'm happy and I'm sad. They're both are true. That the multiple emotions that we have, all of them should be able to serve a Kodesh Baruch at the same time. That's the Shein Yitzrecha. That's how Rebbe Meir suggested Pshat. I'm going to show you Eshavon Nafshi. What? Who's that? Okay. Say yes, right? For sure, right? There's a lot. I didn't want to put all the pages in because the pack was getting too big already anyway. So Levav is the heart of hearts. In other words, what's the difference in the word Libcha and Levavecha? So Levav is the lave of the lave, the heart of hearts, which means the innermost center of the human organic body. Nefesh is the living and striving personality. And Ma'oid is the whole sum of means and forces which exist in our lives. To Jewish teaching, it's not true that God only wants us to be honored spiritually by our minds and feelings. The man in us is, we have to prove our honoring God in spirit and feelings, our love for Him, by investing the whole of our existence, our bodily existence, our desires, and our fortune. A lover is not prepared to make the sacrifice of even the smallest physical desires is a vain pretense. Right? $50 and that's it. True love feels necessity to prove itself by sacrificing even the dearest desires. He talks about the every phase of our being. So I want to go back to that in a second. I saw a piece from Jonathan Sachs that the studies have been done that marriages which people don't find ways to express the marriage in some type of action don't, the love fades. So historically we look at Klai, so any person who tried to strip Klai so from the actions and just have the emotions of Yiddishkeit ended up with nothing. It fell apart. Because love has to be expressed. And we are not brains. We're human beings. We have desires, and we have physical being, and we have all these other parts. So love has to be expressed, and every facet of our being has to express our love. So there's mitzvahs which we do with our mind, mitzvahs we do with our dibur, which is an expression of the social element of what mitzvahs we do with our body, mitzvahs we do which limit our desires, and all of that are ways to express how valuable, how much we love a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we don't have that, if we don't, it's not a full human experience. So then something's going to be lacking in our love. So the b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol miyadecha means, you know, besides the madrega mesiras nefesh, you know, let's leave the mesiras nefesh Right? You know, halavai, we should just have, when I do a mitzvah, I'm so happy that I'm putting on tefillin, because it's a way to express my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm so happy that I went to buy roses, it's a way to express love for my wife. I enjoy the act of doing it, because it's a way to express something. I feel that emotion as I'm doing it. Right? I'm so happy to be up late and not sleep because I'm worried about taking care of something for my wife. I'm so exhausted. I'm giving up my sleep. Right? You can tell where Rebbe's timers are. Right? Because I wish my wife didn't need this. I'd rather be sleeping. You know, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm so happy to give that because it's for my wife, and I love her. Right, so I'm expressing my love by giving up something. That's the love. Go back just one piece over here. I wonder if I put it in. Where is it? Oh, here it is. So he says that this piece over here, it's the Sefer Ikrim from Rav Albo. This person over here, the Toledano, from all the Rav Toledanos, wrote a pirish based on, he took the Ikrim and reorganized it by topical, etc. So this is page 351 over here on this. So there's three types of ava the person has. The person likes something which is, I love something which is good. We have a natural, we hear something that's a beautiful, a good deed, we just, at a certain feeling of emotion, we connect. Ava something which is good, beneficial for me. Ava or of that which is pleasurable. Those are the three types of by the way, the Goyen uses this, the Toiv Moyel and Orev thing. The Goyen uses a lot of time. The word Tam is Rosh HaTevis, Toiv, Orev, and Moyel. Right. So when they talk about the union of the Tam, many times Tam is the flavor of something is the right. Toiv, the Arvus, and the Moyel, which is there. Never, I'm not going to say. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Toiv, Bershom is Moyel, and Bershom is Orev. That's our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he suggests on the next page, in page 52, that a person in the three stages of their life, they tend to go through different stages, what's more important to me. And so the tumor that you have, let's say, tumor to tzmicha, to megil es shleshim berach, you're first developing, tumor yitzivah is like gil chamishim berach, and tumor that you read them, chamishim shadar beilach. Okay. The years, whatever you want to define your years, you know. There's three stages of a person's life. The person's developing, the person is like made it there, and then the person feels he's in the state of decline. So, he goes to the Arev. We find that young people are very much drawn to that which is pleasurable. Pleasure is a very strong motivator in young people. I want to accomplish things. I want to leave a legacy. It's all of the. It's about accomplishment and maybe getting covered and honor. What I'm recognizing, what I'm doing. It's all, so the focus is on the moil. To the reader, so he levata al orav al moil. It's a totally shmoy. I get to a point where that's not my focus line, but something which is intrinsically good is important to me. I'm not running after pleasures in the world. I'm not. Worried about this accomplishment, etc. I'm just sort of absorbing. I'm sort of being passive in a certain sense. Seeing the toy which is out there, and so the three tkufas of the person. So he wants to suggest that the ikrim is going to say that. So if we have an ava towards toiv, towards orev, and towards moil, he wants to say that is rooted into um, In the pasuk, that's what he wants to suggest. So, in connection with the pasuk, Hashem lekein Hashem echad. That's one point. The last point that he says over here, which I'll just run through as quickly, is that okay. That's referring to machshava. Is dibur, right? Those are the actions that a person does. Okay. So in this paragraph itself, we have the expression of that we're going to express our love in many different ways. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to contemplate and think about Kadosh Baruch Hu and feel connected to him that way. We're going to talk about it, to teach us to others, and we're going to do actions which represent that. So that's a little bit of... Okay.